We had discovered that Jude, the only other sentient zombie in existence, was Zabel's other parent, and that Lyle's father had attempted to kill Rohesia over Jude's resurrection. After coming back from Lyle's house, Zabel tried to connect with Jude to no avail. I understood where Jude was coming from. It had to be overwhelming to be told you're the parent to someone you've just met when you don't remember anything about yourself.
What if we built something together?
I think this is like Georgie with dancing. If it's something I did when I was alive, I have to learn to do it again, on my own. When I built those tables back at Elsa's, it felt right.
I could watch. It could be a Naughty and Daughter thing.
Look, kid. I understand you want to connect, but this is a lot for me to take in, you know?
Right.
How about you just give me some time, huh?
Of course. I totally understand. I am an incredibly understanding person. It's practically my middle name, Zabel Understanding Hawthorne.
I don't think I would have named you that, but okay.
You'll still live in Hawthorne Manor, right?
It's a little crowded around here. I was thinking about getting my own place in town.
Oh.
But we can visit each other. I'll need your advice on monster life, I'm sure. You are the town figurehead, after all.
Might want to dial back your faith in that title.
Oh, I could bring you care packages every day. I could put in brains jerky, brains cookies, sweaters.
Zabel, can we talk for a second?
Yeah, you can go. I think they still make spicy riced brains.
Wait, what?
You want to go back to Sweetgum? I don't know why you bother asking at this point. I don't suppose it means anything to tell you not to bring another human home.
That's actually not what I wanted to talk about. I mean, it is, but it isn't. It's about the pendant.
The pendant?
You have to take it back. It was supposed to be Jude's, and it's just a fluke that my mom found it. I shouldn't even be standing here.
All right, pump the bristles, Georgie. You don't need to give it back. You'll lose your sentience, and Jude already has theirs. It'd be an empty gesture at this point.
But I stole it.
Your mom took it by mistake. These things happen with magical items. People lose them, steal them, accidentally acquire them. It's a thing. Besides, if your mom hadn't found it, I would have never met you.
Zabel.
So, why do you want to go back to Sweetgum this time?
Oh, it's the music festival? The one I died at?
Already? It hasn't even been a year.
I want to go.
I'll get my spell ready.
Oh, we can just get Valentina's
I'll get my spell ready.
After swinging by Valentina's bakery to pick her up, Zabel, Hanako, Ash, and I headed to the festival. Elliot and Jamie met us there, toting a bunch of investigative gear and sucking on musical note lollipops. The festival was a sprawling maze of concert stages, food stands, and a bustling campground along the edge of Sweetgum Bay. Looking out at the crowd, you'd have no idea a tragedy had occurred here less than a year ago. Everyone was talking, laughing, singing, and eating. Life kept going without me in it. A part of me resented them. It seemed unfair.
Ugh. Why does everyone look so happy?
Because they are!
Disgusting.
Look at all these humans! I haven't seen this many in one place since Woodstock.
You don't get out much, huh?
Ah, human society. I did not miss it.
You were more fun when you were full of thorn juice.
I thought we agreed we would never speak of that again.
Why are they holding it in November this year? Wasn't it during May last year?
Do you smell that? They have funnel cake. With a few tweaks to the recipe, I could sell funnel web cakes at the bakery. This place is so inspiring.
If you like it now, just wait till it gets dark.
There's a light show.
I love light.
You are so cute.
No, you are. No, you.
Please, stop it.
Let them have their fun, Belle.
I figured you of all people would be annoyed by this.
I ship it.
As I snuggled into Valentina, I still felt a hollowness inside me. My eyes turned toward a path heading into the trees that lined the bay. I couldn't see the water from where we stood.
Hey, I think I'm gonna go check out the bay.
That's cool. Let me and Elliot just pack up our gear and we'll head over.
No, you stay here. I want to go by myself.
Are you sure, sweetie? We can go with you.
I won't be gone long, I promise. I just need to clear my head.
Okay. But if you start getting too sad, come back.
Hanako, are you worried about me?
Shut up.
What was that? Was that a... I care about you, my friend.
Would you go to the bay already?
Okay. I'll be back in a little bit.
Don't forget to kiss me goodbye.
I'd never forget. Mwah!
I ship it.
I walked away from my friends toward the bay. Leaves occasionally crunched under my feet as I followed the dirt path. The November air was crisp and cool. As the bay came into view, I spotted a great egret off in the distance, gracefully wading through the shallows. It craned its elegant neck, seeming to search the empty waters. I wondered what, or who, it was looking for. I scanned the surface of the bay. The water was calm. There was no trace of me. Or my death. Did the water hold any memory of that night? Did anyone or anything witness it? Who could answer the questions that I had?
Hey, Petra! Fancy seeing you here.
I was pulled from my reverie by the sudden greeting.
Vincent? What are you doing here?
Since everybody's going to be at the festival today, my dad wants to go fishing when there's nobody else on the bay. He's getting some hot dogs from one of the food stands to use as bait. What are you doing here?
I came out for the festival. I just wanted to get away from the crowd for a second.
I get it. Must be quite the trek for you, though. You live in Tampa with Ash, right? Are you roommates?
Yeah. Along with Sibel and Hanako.
Cool. It's nice that you visit so often. I really like hanging out with you. You're also... different.
Different is the word for it. We think you're pretty cool, too.
Thanks.
I felt normal talking to Vincent. Like I wasn't a zombie trying to solve her own murder. It's weird to think that this is the last thing Georgie saw before she died.
Yeah.
It's just so hard not to think about it, you know? What was she doing that night?
I mean, the last thing I remember is Georgie wanted to go out on the water, but we didn't have a boat.
Oh. But if she didn't have a boat, then how did she...
Oh, I totally found a boat. Nobody was guarding it or anything, and we weren't going to steal it, so I figured it'd be okay.
I thought you didn't see Georgie that night.
We went out in the boat.
You never told the police that.
You know how they get.
So then what happened when you came back to shore? Where did she go then?
I don't know. Maybe she went back out on the water?
You left her in the boat?
It was an accident!
So then your dad must have followed you to get to her!
What?
Vincent... This isn't easy for me to tell you, but I think your dad is the one that killed Georgie so that you could get that scholarship.
Petra, no, that's not possible.
Then what else could have happened? He was the only one with a motive and doesn't have an alibi.
He was planning a party with his co-workers that night. He even picked up the cake the next morning.
You don't know that for sure. You spent the night at camp. Maybe I should call the cops and tell them what you told me. They can interrogate your dad's co-workers and see if he was really-
He wasn't there, okay?
But how would you even know? You left before Georgie drowned.
I know because I was there. Dad didn't do anything.
Wait. You were there when she died? What happened, Vincent?
An accident.
What happened?
We were having fun, that's all. We were talking about pirates. I was showing off with the oar. I stood up in the boat, pretended the oar was a sword, and it was stupid. It was so stupid, and I shouldn't have done it.
Vincent, what did you do?
I hit her. It was an accident. And then she fell. She fell in the water, and...
You left her to die.
She didn't get back up. I thought she was already dead.
Coroner's report said the cause of death was drowning. She was still alive when she fell in the water. Vincent slowly backed away from me, obviously in distress.
Look, I panicked. I was going to lose everything. I'd never get a scholarship if I killed somebody. I wouldn't be able to go to college.
That's what you prioritized?
You don't know what it was like. I couldn't feel anything. I just had to keep moving. I took the boat back to shore. I went back to my tent, and I kept quiet. Then they found her.
How could you?
I couldn't lose my future over this.
But you were willing to let Georgie lose hers.
That's not... I thought she was already gone.
Georgie! You have to come back.
Georgie?
What is it, Elliot?
It's Lucy.
Fudge butter nuggets. Vincent? I'll deal with you later. I was enraged. I wanted to scream. I wanted to rip something apart with my bare hands. He had let me die. I died over a stupid scholarship. My blood was boiling. But Vincent would have to wait. Lucy wasn't too far from my friends. A crowd had gathered around her as she stood with her army on one of the festival stages.
Monsters have been living under our noses for centuries. They are here at this very festival. They murdered my minion, my comrade, Thorn LaBelle. She died fighting these terrible monsters.
Metaphorical or literal monsters?
Both. She was stabbed by that zombie. She's the murderer.
Me? But I watched Thorn die. With Goldie. What?
I had to witness my friend die right in front of my eyes.
You're the one who killed her. We watched you do it.
How could you say that? I couldn't hurt a fly.
You have an assortment of knives. Stabbing is literally your thing.
I have to admit, that does sound like her. None of us saw what happened.
These monsters want us to turn on each other.
That's a lot of effort when we could just, you know, kill you instead.
Now that I think about it, they've never actually tried to kill us. Well, except that one time that creepy ghost girl threw Lucy against a tree. But that was technically self-defense.
That's how they trick you! Get into your head! Brace yourselves, everyone! These evildoers must be vanquished!
Did the festival get live entertainment this year? If so, bravo.
This isn't a show! Stand back, citizens! We will handle this!
Sure you will.
Not this again. Not today. Greta leapt down from the stage, rushing toward Hanako. Johannes hesitated.
I don't want to do this.
You can stop then!
But... what am I supposed to do?
Johannes wrung his hands from the stage, looking torn. Meanwhile, Hanako easily avoided Greta's grasp.
Why are you so hard to catch?
I'm a ghost.
Get back here!
Hmm. Nah.
I am gonna crush your head so hard!
Hey, Officer Gooden, shouldn't you do something?
I'm off the clock. I'm just here to enjoy the show.
Near the path to the bay, Goldie had cornered Ash and Zabel. She spun her knives menacingly.
Whatever shall you do, Zabel? Use magic on me in front of all these people.
I don't have to. Ash, take her down.
Of course, the buck gets passed to me.
Before Ash could react, Goldie came at him, skillfully swinging her knives.
Hey, okay, watch it with those things.
Goldie danced around Zabel and Ash with ease. Ash attempted to fend her off with his fists, using himself as a human shield to protect Zabel. His fighting style was sloppy. Every so often, Goldie would land a strike, leaving long gashes in the arms of Ash's sweater. Amidst the chaos, Valentina tried to get to me, but there were too many people in the way. She looked at me helplessly from beside Jamie and Elliot.
What do we do?
Protect the equipment! What? We're podcasters, not fighters. Valentina, why don't you do something?
Me? I only know how to do vampire stuff.
Exactly, vampire stuff. Go mind control someone or suck their blood.
I'm not even going to dignify that with a response.
Lucy hopped off the stage and slowly walked towards me. The crowd parted, seeming to assume this was all part of the show. I was acutely aware of all the humans watching. Normally, I would hold back my strength. But I was at my wit's end.
It's just you and me, zombie.
I'm not playing nice anymore, Lucy!
Bring it on!
Lucy ran at me with her sword, but I avoided each strike. Thanks to my dancing, I was fast on my feet. I landed a few punches with my unrestrained zombie strength. Although Lucy was relentless, I could tell I was doing damage. I continued to dodge and hit. I was convinced she would go down, and once she did, I'd go help Zabel and Ash. But that didn't happen. Instead, I heard a sickening sound. Lucy had sliced my arm off at the shoulder. The once amused audience began to panic.
Oh my god, her arm!
They brought a real sword into the festival? I couldn't even bring a sandwich.
Wait, why isn't she bleeding?
Look at the fingers. Is it still moving?
See? See, I told you, I'm not crazy. I was never crazy. She was a monster the entire time.
My eyes darted around the crowd. The humans looked terrified, frozen in fear. I backed away. Lucy watched me with a demented grin. She had finally gotten what she wanted.
Georgie! Your favorite arm!
Valentina pushed through the crowd and scooped up my arm, hurriedly reattaching it to my shoulder. Then she stepped in front of me to shield me from Lucy.
Whoa, what's going on?
Vincent stood at the mouth of the path to Sweet Gum Bay. He stared in confusion at Lucy and I. At Goldie's battle cry, Vincent's attention turned toward her assault on Zabel and Ash.
Hey, get away from her!
Vincent sprinted across the fairgrounds and grabbed Goldie's arm, jerking her away from my friends. Goldie turned on her heel and immediately stabbed Vincent in the stomach. Goldie wrenched the knife from Vincent's body. He fell to the ground, clutching his abdomen. Zabel quickly knelt beside him.
Ash, give me your shirt!
Ash looked perplexed, but didn't question it. He yanked his shirt off and handed it over to her. Zabel pressed it against Vincent's wound in an attempt to stop the bleeding. Lucy turned to Goldie, horrified.
Goldie! What are you doing?
He's a misguided human! You! Person in the ugly parrot shirt. Call an ambulance, now!
Wait, me?
She's not talking to me, Ron.
I'm gonna go get backup. Because a cop should never rush in and assist him.
All You're getting stabbed, man. I'm out.
The crowd scattered. Lucy's face turned bright red with rage as she regarded Goldie.
He didn't know what was going on! You should have gotten him out of harm's way! You do not just stab humans indiscriminately!
Would you shut up?
Don't talk to Lulu like that!
Keep it in your pants, Greta. Who cares about Lucy's little save humanity routine? Humans, monsters, doesn't really matter to me. As long as they bleed.
What did you just say?
So, did you just kill Thorn because she got in your way? Wasn't she your friend?
Friend? Charming that you think I'd be friends with any of these people.
You did kill her, didn't you?
Oh, the jig is up, I suppose. So what if I killed her? I did us a favor. She was a weak link.
Hey, there's a guy bleeding to death. Can we, I don't know, focus on that?
You killed Thorn. You killed an innocent person.
Hey, can we get me to a hospital? Please.
I didn't want Vincent to die, but I didn't want to help save him either. Lucy lunged at Goldie, her sword locking with Goldie's knife. Lucy and Goldie battled. Goldie's every move was calculated, but it was clearly an effort for her to keep up with the force of Lucy's unbridled rage. Goldie's blade made contact with Lucy's cheek, leaving a long, bleeding gash, but Lucy didn't even flinch. The fight only ended when... Lucy's blade made contact with Goldie's throat. Goldie hit the ground, her blonde curls in disarray. She didn't move.
I hired a murderer. I hired a murderer. And now, people are dead.
Lucy.
Oh no, 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 no.
As if things weren't bad enough, the boogeyman's shadowy form rose from the ground. He grew 10 times his size, towering over us and the remaining townspeople.
Humans! So good to see all of you. Well, good for me. Bad for you, since I'm here to kill you.
Large waves of black mist surrounded the festival grounds, corralling everyone in.
Why do they always scream like that? It never works.
Boogeyman, stop!
Zabel stood up and desperately waved her arms. The boogeyman curved his long neck until his head was level with hers.
I'm sorry, my dear. You know the rules. If a large population of humans realizes that monsters exist, they all have to die. Then we just make it look like a chemical spill or something like that.
You can't do that.
I do it all the time.
No, I mean this is morally wrong.
Do it all the time?
I'll discuss this with you later, young lady. You and your friends are in for it. But for now...
Power of the moon, come into my hand. Let it still the tides and halt the fall of sand. Mile all around. All that breathes, I suspend. Until I declare cessation shall end.
Everyone, including the boogeyman, froze. The air was unnaturally still. Zabel, Hanako, and I, appeared to be the only people unaffected.
Sibel, you did a spell and nobody's eyeballs ended up at an Outback Steakhouse.
Sibel knelt down beside Vincent. She placed a hand on his wound.
Magic mend and fire burn. Sickness end and health return.
The bloodstains on Vincent's shirt slowly vanished.
Oh my god, you didn't suck.
Yeah, I didn't.
I'm so proud of you.
You're proud?
I mean, I'm relieved you didn't blow it. That's all.
Of course.
Sibel turned to me.
They can still hear you. Explain everything.
Undo my glamour first.
Are you sure?
They need to see the real me. Sibel nodded and removed the glamour. I stood before everyone as myself. Georgie Romero, the zombie. I took a deep breath. Everything came pouring out of my mouth. I laid my heart bare. I explained how I had posed as a human to investigate my own death. I recalled Lyle's golem, Valentina's bakery, Sibel's disastrous date with Tony, being hit by a car in front of Jamie and Elliot. My anger bubbled back up to the surface when I revealed the truth about Vincent. Once I finished my tale, Sibel stepped forward.
Boogeyman, I beg you not to harm anyone here. What would Rohesia want you to do?
Something changed in the boogeyman's eyes, even as he stood frozen. Sibel snapped her fingers, and the boogeyman was freed from the spell. He returned to his usual height of 7 feet.
What do you say, boogeyman?
Will you take responsibility for all of these humans?
Yes, I will.
If anything goes wrong, you will answer for it.
I take full responsibility for whatever may happen.
Very well. Since you have chosen to oversee this, merging, I will let them live. Release the humans.
With another snap of her fingers, Sibel released everyone. The remaining sweetgummers hastily exited the fairgrounds. I turned to Lucy. Even without the spell, she stood eerily still. Greta stood beside her, keeping a hand on Lucy's shoulder.
Were we the bad guys the entire time?
We definitely were.
I carefully approached.
Lucy, we don't have to be enemies.
Don't speak to me.
Lucy, calm down.
Don't you ever tell me to calm down. I see through you, zombie. I see right through you.
Lucy raised her blade. Before she could strike me, Valentina grabbed her and pinned her down.
Not today, Lucy.
I'm the hero! Monsters are evil! I'm going to defeat them! I'll defeat them! Monsters! Evil!
Eventually, Valentina let her go. Lucy curled up on the ground, tears and blood streaming down her cheek.
I'm a hero! I'm a hero!
Lulu.
Greta scooped Lucy up into her arms, rocking her and stroking her hair. Then Greta stood, carrying Lucy off with Johannes following close behind them. I don't know what became of them after that. At least Lucy wouldn't be alone. I felt a hand on my shoulder.
Georgie, are you okay?
No. I have something I need to do.
I approached Vincent, who was still rubbing where his wound had been in confused wonder. Vincent?
Georgie, I can't believe it's you.
You killed me.
It was an accident. Please, Georgie, you have to understand. I thought you were dead.
I could kill you right now. I have every right.
Georgie, please.
I could kill you, but I'm not going to. Not like you. I turned away from him. Officer Gooden eventually returned with a squad of police cars. It took less than 5 minutes for Vincent to confess to everything. Goldie's body was transported to the morgue. Like Thorne, she wouldn't be coming back. I felt relieved. After the police removed Vincent from the Fairgrounds, Valentina swooped me up in a giant hug. I wrapped my arms around her and squeezed.
I love you so much.
Despite everything, my heart fluttered. I needed to hear that. I love you too. Our first I love yous were sealed with a kiss.
Hey, Georgie, how are you? Oh, you are busy.
Zabel, you gotta learn how to read the room.
It's okay.
So, how are you doing with the whole Vincent situation? I know he was your friend. Our friend.
Don't rope me into this. I knew he sucked from the start.
Ash?
What? It's true. I'm sorry, Georgie. I mean, you deserve better friends than a guy like that.
Got plans to put on a shirt anytime soon, buddy?
Vincent took my shirt with him, okay?
So, great work out there, Zabel. I didn't know you had it in you.
I didn't either.
None of us believed in you. Good job.
Thanks.
I believed in you.
Ash took hold of Zabel's hand. She gave it a soft squeeze.
Georgie, you sure you don't want me to possess Vincent and, unalive him?
No. No more killing.
All right. But my offer stands.
We are gonna have to do a lot of cleanup. But we can do it together.
Thanks, Zabel. I hugged Zabel tightly. We were going to need a lot of therapy. But at least we weren't in it alone. I pulled away from Zabel to see Ash, still shirtless, addressing us.
Okay, it's probably not the best time for this, but we did just witness an entire town almost get wiped out. I did a lot of life evaluation in those 5-10-ish minutes, and I need to tell you something. Zabel, we've been getting closer over the past few months, and I wondered if, maybe, you'd like to go out with me.
Go out as in a date?
Yeah, a date.
I thought I drove you crazy.
Oh, you do. But I don't hate it.
All right, then. A date it is.
I had never seen Ash act so giddy. Actually, it reminded me a little of when he was under the influence of Thorne's potion. It was a good look on him. With their romantic subplot wrapped up, we turned our attention to more pressing things. Zabel decided not to wipe anyone's memories. Instead, Sweetgum and Wormwood slowly merged over time. The King family was the first to welcome their vampire daughter back into the community. In a shocking twist, Claire had actually hooked up with Elisabetta. I guess they had their own story arc while we were busy. With Vincent's wrongs revealed, he lost his scholarship. There were no true legal ramifications. The courts didn't want to completely ruin his future, or so they said. But he had to leave Sweetgum and start over. After the story broke, I heard his life became a living hell. He even changed his name. I never found out what he changed it to or where he ended up. It's not a satisfying ending. But eventually, I made peace with it. Zabel's magic continued to improve, along with her confidence. She picked up her mother's research where Rohija left off. She's still trying to perfect the spell in order to give zombies not only sentience, but their memories of being human. Ash still works at the library. He's also been writing music. But news articles tend to refer to him as Zabel's boyfriend. Hanako did return to Sweetgum High, but as faculty, which surprised us all. She was hired as a history teacher. She had seen at least 70 years of Sweetgum history firsthand. She never became friends with Claire, but she stopped hating her. There was a mutual understanding between them. Lyle has been doing better. He started therapy. We aren't close friends or anything, but he and Zabel have a respect for one another now. Jude opened up a woodworking shop. They sell all sorts of furniture, from tables to coffins. They've been building a relationship with Zabel, little by little. If Zabel ever perfects the spell, maybe one day they'll even remember Rohesia. My mom permanently moved into Hawthorne Manor and became a tour guide for monsters and humans alike. When she wasn't in Sweetgum or Wormwood, she was busing tourists of all kinds around the local Floridian human and monster towns. I started taking dance classes at Sweetgum College. I toyed with opening a dance school in Wormwood to rival Madame Swanson's, but then I had a better idea. I would open a school for monsters and humans to dance together. I wanted a school built around community and support, not spite. Valentina still runs her bakery, but moved into Hawthorne Manor with me. It wasn't long before we began to make more serious plans.
How does a spring wedding sound?
Could it be at night?
Of course.
Valentina and I got engaged. I didn't know the first thing about weddings. I only knew about proposals because of some of my mom's favorite movies. My mom and Valentina were much better at the wedding planning thing, which was fine because I had my hands full as the official deputy figurehead, helping usher in a new era of monster and human unity. And that's how it all went down. I found out who killed me. We accidentally revealed monsters exist to everybody. In hindsight, I think that was kind of inevitable.
You weren't exactly subtle with your investigation. No offense.
None taken. It's funny now, but I still feel kind of bad about it.
Water under the bridge. You changed how monsters and humans see everything.
Yeah, and I never would have met Dara. For the new listeners, he's the leprechaun I'm dating.
So, Georgie, do you regret any of it?
I don't like to think like that. Every choice I made got me here, and I'm pretty happy where I am.
Aww.
Do you still want to get your old memories back?
Yes, but I don't know how much those memories define me anymore. The Georgie I am now is pretty all right.
We have to agree. Thank you for sharing your story with us.
Thank you for having me.
That concludes the Georgie Romero follow-up episode of The Serial Siblings. Next week, we'll be speaking with Zabel Hawthorne about just what goes down in the afterlife.
What happens when you die and don't become a monster? Here's a little sneak peek.
Well, first, the bees come to get you.
That was the final episode of Georgie Romero is Done For. Thank you for coming on this journey with us. It has been a lot of fun, and we appreciate all of your support. I also want to thank everyone who helped me bring this show to life. It was an honor to work with this cast and crew. I will be forever grateful to these incredibly talented people. A special shout out to my co-producers, Rachel Greenberg and Sox Whitmore. I started this project with Rachel, who helped me get the show off the ground. After I cast Sox in the role of Georgie, they helped with proofreading scripts, organizing recording sessions, and eventually full-on producing duties. Season 2 wouldn't be the same without them. If you like the show, consider checking out Georgie Romero's sister podcast, The Softboiled Detective, and/or support us on Ko-Fi, Buy Me a Coffee, or Patreon. Thank you for listening.
This has been Georgie Romero is Done For. Written and directed by Kat Walker Shea. Additional writing by Sox Whitmore. Produced by Kat Walker Shea, Sox Whitmore, and Rachel Greenberg. Sound designed by Meg Malloy Tootin. Music composed by Evan Johnson. Sox Whitmore as Georgie Romero. Kat Walker Shea as Zabel Hawthorne. Jade Robinson as Hanako Kanagawa. Caleb Feetsam as Ash Ramus. Veronica Dash as Valentina. Catherine Means as Barbara Romero. Roshni Lumeno as Lucy Van Helsing. Mimi Brown as Goldie. Roscoe Brahman as Johannes. Meg Malloy Tootin as Greta. Rue Dickey as Jude. Magneto Morgan as Elliot Ripley. Casper Oliver as Jamie Ripley. Kian Hidari as Vincent. B.K. Dawson as the Boogeyman. Henry Galley as Officer Gooden. And Becca Learman, Meg Malloy Tootin, and Kat Walker Shea as the festival goers. That was the final episode of Giorgio Romero is Done For. Thank you for coming on this journey with us. It has been a lot of fun, and we appreciate all of your support. I also want to thank everyone who helped me bring this show to life. It was an honor to work with this cast and crew. I will be forever grateful to these incredibly talented people. A special shout-out to my co-producers, Rachel Greenberg and Sox Whitmore. I started this project with Rachel, who helped me get the show off the ground. After I cast Sox in the role of Georgie, they helped with proofing scripts, organizing recording sessions, and eventually full-on producing duties. Season 2 wouldn't be the same without them. If you like our show, consider checking out Georgie Romero's sister podcasts. And if you're financially able to, please consider supporting us on Ko-fi, Buy Me a Ko-fi, or Patreon. Thanks for listening.